So a few days ago, we lost Muhammad Ali, the famed boxer who was the greatest. We just want to talk a little bit about it and the impact that he's had on us and on the rest of the country. So,
you know, I was thinking I had, I saved quite a bit of like reactions on Twitter after he died. And somebody's comment on Twitter, you know, one of the big things that people have been saying is that he transcended race and religion, transcended everything. And there's been a lot of pushback on that because I do follow quite a lot of Black Lives Matter folks, and they're pushing back on that going, there's no need for him to transcend any of the things that he held dear, which is his race and his religion. And then somebody else said, you know, when I die, I hope it's entirely a celebration of my blackity blackness, like it is for Muhammad Ali. And I thought that was so fantastic, because is there anyone who has been on sort of like the national, let's unpack it, international stage that so embraced his blackness at a time when usually people push back from that very thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's really powerful that he was like, he loved himself and he loved us by extension. Like he, you know, current, you know, sports stars and, popular figures, that's the thing that they can't do sometimes. They can't remind us of their very uniqueness, whether it's their ethnicity, whether it's their sexuality too much, or whatever the thing is that might be off-putting to mass consumption. But he did all of that. I just thought that was kind of amazing.
I thought it was, you know what I responded to, Muhammad Ali? His overwhelming confidence.
Like, yes!
And his unabashed display of it, discussion of it. I mean, it was bombastic and it was over the top, but I so enjoyed it. Like,
it was also strategic. It was also strategic,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And that's not a critique. I think that he did that very usefully.
Well, I mean, it captured headlines. There were so many quotes. Like, he just had so many, you know, I'm so fast, I turned off the lights and back in bed before it got dark. Like, he just,
I'm so pretty.
I arrested thunder and beat up lightning or whatever. It just makes my eyes go wide. I respond to that. I think that kind of, it sounds like ego, and it is ego.
It is ego.
I like the fact that he was perfectly comfortable putting that in public space. I am the greatest. But, you know, end of story.
I would even say, I'm not sure I would even say it's ego, because again, I think, and you see boxers do this today, I think it was a tactic. It was an intimidation tactic,
yeah,
which is a real part of boxing.
But it was also outside of boxing. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he embodied that persona everywhere else. So you can say that an element of it was strategic in terms of the boxing, and he backed himself. He always backed himself in terms of boxing, but he also backed himself in like a social milieu that said black people weren't awesome, and he was saying it in people's face. It was really, I mean, it's really quite compelling in that way, just because, I mean, I think about current popular black athletes who are obviously unabashedly the best at what they do. They could never comfortably say that out loud without
harangueing
them.
I think Muhammad Ali showed that they absolutely could. Serena could just walk around and be like, I'm the best. Hey, play bitches, I'm the best.
Oh,
and
no.
Then all these white blonde bitches would be like, oh, I mean, they would cry about it.
Well, they do cry about it, but she is the best.
Truth. But she
but
is the best.
The truth. That's what
that's
he
the
said.
Thing. That's the thing about Muhammad Ali. Call it what you want. He spoke the truth, right? He was the greatest, right? And why should he shrink from that? Why should he be like, you know, I'm pretty good, but maybe someone will come along and be better. No, bitch.
I'm the best right now.
Deal with it. You over there. You in the back. Deal with it. Tell your friends. You know, I like that.
But not only was he the best, though, he was also the best, and he did the thing that was the hardest, which is that you're at the height of your fame and at the height of your power, and you make bold and courageous choices still.
Yeah.
Right.
That's hard. That's pretty damn hard to do. And I think that's why unabashedly he is kind of acknowledged as the greatest, because I think he blended politics and sport in a way that no one else has had the courage to do since. Because you have, there's a risk involved.
Yeah, just all of his statements about how he refused to war and die. So inspirational at a time when, you know, as a black person, putting yourself out there in the spotlight, especially after getting so much success.
Yep, you know, you want to be cautious. Usually you're cautious.
It would be easy for him to lay back and be like, yo, I'm rich, I'm powerful, I'm famous. I have choices that a lot of black people in America don't have. But he was like, I'm not going to war. And let me tell you motherfuckers why. Why I'm not going to war. Because you people like to drop bombs on brown people, and why the hell should I be part of that? And it's bold, and it's a bold choice. And
it's very, and you know what, he was definitely American individualism at the height, right, in that sense, which is, I'm my own person, you don't own me, I'm boldly myself, so that's a happy 4th of July to you.
But what I remember about Muhammad Ali when I think about him is that he was just, I've said this already, but the way that he talked about himself, the kind of confidence that he had in himself, and just inhabiting all of his power in all of its glory, being like young, I've never seen another black man do that other than my father. When Muhammad Ali died, it really felt like a loss. Like that was something from my youth, which is gone now. And I don't know if I'm describing this, or if anyone, or if you guys or anyone else listening can identify it with the way that I'm trying to explain. But he was such a powerful black man. And even though he was a boxer, he resisted the idea that he was violent. He resisted the idea that he was dangerous. He had ideas. He talked about them. He talked about his beliefs. And I don't know.
I do feel kind of compelled to say this is not at all critique of Muhammad Ali. I agree with everything you guys said, and I think he did a great job of taking the kind of capital the megaphone that he earned through his skill and talent in the ring and used that for a lot of social good. I just feel compelled to say, though, that I find it unfortunate that for many African Americans, African American men, for them to become prominent, we need to put them in a public space doing physical damage to their own body and the bodies of other African American men.
Jason, okay.
Yes?
I'll meet you halfway there. I'll meet you halfway there. Why are we using each other's names? That was weird. I'll meet you halfway there, but I don't know. Is that the important thing that you're pulling away from Muhammad Ali's legacy? I mean, after everything that we said, which you said you agreed with, after, you know, just the way that he spoke about war and his faith and race in America and America in general, that's what we're pulling out, that because he's a boxer, we should look askance at this somehow?
No. First of all, it's not the one thing, but I think I feel a moral obligation among all of the very true positive things about him. Again, and this is not a critique of him. This is the fact that in our society, we have reverence for black men who do damage to their own bodies and other black men's bodies, much more so than the vast majority of other black men in the country, and I think that's problematic. I feel like that needs to be, it could be point 20 in a 20-point conversation about all the things related to Muhammad Ali's legacy.
As long as there's 19 other points, because
I
understand what you're saying and I hear it. It's just that at this moment, I don't know, it doesn't feel relevant. It doesn't feel immediate.
Well, let me not to prolong it, but look, there's also a reality that Muhammad Ali, unfortunately, tragically, suffered, you know, lifelong injuries because of the work he was in. And again, not a critique of him, but I feel like that should be part of the conversation. And he clearly had a great mind, along with his great courage and along with his physical and athletic prowess. And I'd love for us collectively as a country to be more engaged in uncovering great black male minds without having them beat the shit out of themselves or others before we bother to listen to what word they have to say.
I'm not debating with you that we do something. I'm not debating with you that black men have access to the American public through sports, right? That's what's going on. I'm not debating with you that that is problematic. I'm just saying, like, at this moment in time, like, so soon after his death, that's like an extrapolation onto a topic that doesn't have anything to do with the man and his greatness.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think it's always interesting when we are attempting to sort of celebrate a black person, that in some ways the celebration has to be cut short by offering a critique of the social system in which they live, and that they have to somehow transcend it.
Which can be important, and then that can be part of their legacy. The only reason why I'm resisting this is because you can say that, and I think we did earlier, that Muhammad Ali rose to prominence at a time when a lot of African-American people did not reach that level of prominence, right? And he overcame what society was throwing at him. So that's one way to talk about his greatness. But then to sort of like get in there, you know, and Jason, I'm not criticizing you, but just to get in there and be like, well, here's another black man in sports. Like, no, he's not just another black man in sports. He's the greatest. He's Muhammad goddamn Ali.
Yeah, well, fair point. Fair point.
Well, I mean, what's nice about it, too, is that history proved him to be right in his resistance to the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that... Well, you know, and I think, I think most people are always going to be right on the money when you resist for those reasons, because I think most people were resisting out of a kind of fear for themselves, not resisting because they had kind of extrapolated the reasonings and the rationale that he did, and that allowed to stand the test of time on some level. Do you know?
I totally agree, and I mean the other thing is, look, there was a narrative. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the narrative behind the war was that there's an us and them, us being capitalist or people in capitalist, quote, free, unquote, countries, and them being, you know, communists, Soviets. And so, you know, the narrative behind the war was they are going to come get us if we don't go get them over in Vietnam. And Muhammad Ali, I think, very aptly established a different narrative, not that he was the only one doing it, but saying, well, no, actually – another narrative is equally important or more important here, which is their white dominated countries are subjugating countries of color, and us going over there, we should be thinking about that because we have that subjugation going on right here at home. And I think that him offering that counter narrative was very powerful.
Yeah, because I mean, I think you're right in the sense that people said at the time who were kind of anti-war that it was really important that somebody famous and of his stature said that, because he had the bully pulpit and they didn't.
Right.
And so that sort of validated the reasoning. But what I like about it too is that it was also intensely personal, the reasoning.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I feel connected here at home as a black man, and I'm critiquing the culture that I live in and the things that it fails to do for me. So why am I going to go abroad as if in celebration to this current culture and give you anything for the nothing that I receive here, which has always been my question about any sort of person of color who served in the military up until then, even, right? Because they're serving in segregated units. I mean,
I love it. I love that he made his personal public, like the rejection of his name, Cassius Clay, the reasons why. Again, he said, you know, that's my slave name. Like, I didn't pick that. It was,
situated in American history, which is really powerful.
And he took his individual.
Right, because, you know, every war going back to the Revolutionary War, you have black people who fought in many cases believing that in return they would see equality or equity, and that never happened.
Yep.
So let's raise a glass to Muhammad Ali, who really was the greatest, really the greatest. We'll miss him.
We throw that word around, but I think I have to say, I'm reflecting on that word even more. I said, you know, I'm happy we don't give it out so much to everyone, and I'm happy that on some level there's a lot of sort of community agreement. that that term is sort of reserved for him.
Well, he seized it. He let us all know. He knocked on our goddamn doors in the middle of the night. He's like, hello, I'm the greatest. Deal with it. And then walked into the darkness, and we're like, oh, shit, that just happened. Okay.
He was the greatest.
I love that about him. And it might have been strategic. Dude. It might have been blather, but in the end, it turned out to be true. So
that's true.
Rest in peace, Muhammad Ali.
Amen.